because they had no reason to believe that either the rock or the green organism was composed even partially of proteins. True, every living thing on Earth had at least some proteins, but that didn't mean life elsewhere had to have it. Biology, as the Nobel Prize-winning scientist George Wald had said, was a unique science because it could not define its subject matter. Nobody had a definition for life. Nobody knew what it was, really. The old definitions, an organism that showed ingestion, excretion, metabolism, reproduction, and so on, were worthless. One could always find exceptions. The Wildfire Group had concluded that energy conversion was the hallmark of life. All living organisms in some way took in energy, as food or sunlight, and converted it to another form of energy and put it to use. Viruses were the exception to this rule, but the group was prepared to define viruses as non-living. For one of the group's meetings, Levitt was asked to prepare a rebuttal to the definition. He pondered it and returned with three objects: a swatch of black cloth, a watch, and a piece of granite. He set them down before the group and said, "Gentlemen, I give you three living things." He then challenged the team to prove that they were not living. He placed the black cloth in the sunlight. It became warm. This, he announced, was an example of energy conversion, radiant energy to heat. It was objected that this was merely passive energy absorption, not conversion. It was also objected that the conversion, if it could be called that, was not purposeful. It served no function. "How do you know it's not purposeful?" Levitt had demanded. Then they turned to the watch. Levitt pointed to the radium dial, which glowed in the dark. Decay was taking place, and light was being produced. The men argued that this was merely release of potential energy held in unstable electron levels. But there was growing confusion. Levitt was making his point. Finally, they came to the granite. "This is alive," Levitt said. "It's living, breathing, walking, and talking. Only we cannot see it because it's happening too slowly. A rock has a lifespan of 3 billion years. We have a lifespan of 60 or 70 years. We cannot see what is happening to this rock for the same reason that we cannot make out the tune on a record being played at the rate of one revolution every century. And the rock, for its part, is not even aware of our existence because we are alive for only a brief instance of its lifespan. To it, we are like flashes in the dark." He held up his watch. His point was clear enough, and they revised their thinking in one important respect. They conceded that it was possible that they might not be able to analyze certain life forms. It was possible that they might not be able to make the slightest headway, the least beginning, in such an analysis.
Jeremy Stone, working with infinite patience, took a flake of the green material and dropped it into molten plastic. The plastic was the size and shape of a medicine capsule. He waited until the flake was firmly embedded and poured more plastic over it. He then transferred the plastic pill to the curing room. Stone envied the others their mechanized routines. The preparation of samples for electron microscopy was still a delicate task requiring skilled human hands. Once the plastic hardened, he would scrape it away and then flake off a small bit of green with a microtome. This would go into the electron microscope. The flake would have to be of the right thickness and size, a small round shaving, 1.500...